friend Donald, he came and started school with me at Rice, and I was a sophomore, and he was starting his first year, and I was happy to see that he was talking to Tasha at the campus fellowship ice cream social, because I wanted him to feel comfortable and then join the crew campus fellowship. And so I was really happy to see that they were having a conversation, and I went up to Tasha later. I said, "Yeah, I'm so glad to see that Donald was talking with you there at the ice cream social." And she said, "No, Donald wasn't." I said, "Yeah, no, you were talking to Donald. You know, he's Chinese background like me, and you were talking to him at the ice cream social." "No, I didn't talk to a Donald. No, a Chinese guy, you know, Donald. That's his name, Donald. You were talking to him. I saw you." No. Then I started doubting myself. I said, "What? No, wait a second. Is there somebody out there that looks just like Donald and is, well," she says, "Well, no, I didn't talk to a Donald, but I talked to a guy named Scooter, a Chinese guy." And then I really got confused. Is there some other dude out there in the world that looks just like my friend Donald named Scooter and was talking to Tasha? So later on, I went to Donald and I said, "Donald, hey, weren't you talking to Tasha there at the ice cream social?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I was." I said, "Well, she said she talked to Scooter." And he goes, I changed my name. Yeah, you know, starting college, get a fresh new start. Just kind of changed my name and I can take on become a new person. And I started thinking, man, we Rice students, we sure are eccentric. You know, that's kind of. But yeah, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take on a new personality. And so. Change his name, change his identity, because see, Donald, he was a high-achieving, academic, introverted, band-playing student, and now that he became a student at Rice, he wanted to change his name, and so he could take on a new personality, become anything he wanted. He could become sports-loving, partying, you know, not very studious, extroverted if you wanted to, just because he was now Scooter. And so so to this day, yeah, some people call him Donald and some people call him Scooter. And, you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And as we're going through Ephesians, a couple of weeks ago, Minister John preached on becoming the new you. And we're talking about how the new you can live out this new life that we have. And so this morning we want to continue on our theme of Ephesians and living out who we are, becoming the new you. But I would like for us to add the element of this morning of not only becoming the new you, but becoming the new you in the Texan y'all, becoming the new you in our new community. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 20, 25 to 32, that's where we'll be looking at this morning. And we'll be looking at how can we become the new you in the new y'all. Or living out the new you in the new community. Stan just shared with us the strife and the tension that we feel as a country racially. And as we as a church, as we've been promoting our theme of unity, if we as a church can get along and can model unity and reconciled relationships, how much more can that spill out over into our communities and nation and world? And so let's look at very practically this morning from verses 25 to 32 as we continue on our theme of growing and building our new life in Christ. Let's start off in verse 25. He says, therefore, and again, Bible study methods, Vincent, anytime we see a therefore, what do we have to ask? What is the therefore, therefore? Or wherefore is the therefore, therefore? And so the therefore is there because it's referring back primarily to verses 17 to 24, but also to all of the first three chapters of Ephesians, where Paul has talked about this new life and all that we have in Christ. And so as Minister John shared with us, because of this new you, these new clothes that we have put on, as a result of that, I'm going to now give you 10 plus imperatives. Okay, so get ready, because here in verses 25 to 32, remember, we told that the first three chapters, there's only one command, one imperative. In the first few verses of chapter 4, we are starting to get a few more commands, a few more imperatives. Right here, Paul doesn't hold back any punches. 25 to 32, get ready. We're going to come with 11 imperatives, 11 commands, okay? So hold on with me as we get ready for this. I've divided the next 11 plus commands into 5 sets. And each set kind of has a pattern. I thank Harold Honer for and other commentators for structuring this for us. But there's a negative command, and then there's a positive command, and then there's a reason for the positive command. Okay, so see if you can discover that with me as we look into the passage. So starting in verse 25, therefore, the first set of commands, laying aside falsehood, or as the ESV says, because it's a more of a participle, because you have laid aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So, again, because you have laid aside falsehood, that was part of the old man, the old life. So implicitly, what is the negative command here? Don't tell lies. Don't be false. The positive command, speak truth with one another. And the reason? Because we are members of one another. So let's unpack that again. Again, because you have laid aside falsehood. Now remember, you laid aside the old man, or you put off, you took off the old clothes. So because of all that you did, now I pulled this out. This is a shirt I wore 3 times. Okay, I'm a conservative guy. I don't like to wash my clothes too much. I wore it 3 times. Now, 2 of those times I had an undershirt underneath it. Okay, so 1 time. But I pulled this out of the laundry basket. My wife doesn't even know. She hates it when I do that, when I wear my old clothes out of the laundry basket. But you know what? I was wearing this 1 time, and yeah, it still smells okay a little bit. But at conversion, I put off the old clothes. I put off the old man, okay? And with that was things like lying and falsehood. That's all part of the old clothes, and I got some new clothes that I'm wearing, right? Now, I've worn this shirt a couple of times, too, by the way. But you don't need to know about that. There's an undershirt on here, too. Okay, so you put that aside. You lay it aside. The word here is pseudos, where we get the word pseudonym, right? A fake name, a false name. And so that belongs to the old clothes, the laundry basket stuff. You put that off at conversion, and you put on the new life. The new Holy Spirit came and filled you, and He forgave all of your sins, and you're a new creation. And as a result, we want to speak truth. We want to truthfully speak with one another. And the reason is because we are members of one another. We're members of one another. So we're right. We did that exercise. We all held hands and we said, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Some of us didn't hold hands because we felt a little uncomfortable with the person next to us, right? You know, but we're all one and we're part of the same body. And so because we're one with one another, then yes, why would I not tell you something that would help you? Why would I not be truthful with you? I mean, you know,
And we're part of the same body. And if I, between my big toe and my small toe, if I had a fungus growing there in between because of athlete's foot, you know, wouldn't I, the eyeball, if the big toe didn't know that a fungus was growing on it, wouldn't I say, hey, a big toe, you got a fungus growing on you? If the fish that was in my car for 24 hours really, really smelled, would I not tell the mouth, hey, this fish really smells, don't eat it? And so in the same way, because we are members of one another, we want to speak truth to one another. Now, I want to focus a little bit on those constructive, critical, negative truths here in verse 25. And so I want to give us a few guidelines on speaking truth to one another. Now there's whole books written on this. And one book I would recommend is called Difficult Conversations. You can look it up on the internet. But it talks about having those difficult conversations with people that you love. But we're just going to spend maybe a few minutes. I'm just going to say a couple of things on speaking truth to one another. First, I would say, speak the truth in love. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 15, it says that, speak the truth in love. And so, full disclosure, full communication has to be tempered by love. If you look in Psalm 62, it says to pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before Him. And so the line, the phrase that I want us to remember is express yourself fully to God. I mean, let it all hang out before God. Tell Him everything that's on your heart. Tell Him who you love, who you hate, what's going on. Everything, express it fully. But when it comes to people, that has to be tempered by love. And so you may not express yourself fully, but appropriately to others. So express yourself fully to God and appropriately to others in love. If my wife asked me, hey, honey, do you like my haircut? Well, you know, you gotta temper it with love. And you might say something like, boy, honey, I am so glad that you got a haircut. Okay, I don't know. I mean, you'll have to work that out, okay? But temper it by love, okay? Second thing is, another communication truth tip is to use I statements, right? Use I statements. And so they teach us this. If you can say, I feel this when you do that, then that can often help in your communication. Another point I would like to emphasize is speak directly to the person. And don't be careful of gossip or going behind their backs to get the truth to them. You know what I'm talking about? So we want to go to people directly. And so organizationally, in our church, we have people who are in charge of certain things. And so if you have a problem or a complaint about something, go to that person. So if you have a problem with the youth ministry, you know, go to Christine. No, don't go to Christine. Go to Stan, right? Or Deacon Hugh, right? We're going to go to Deacon Hugh Liu if we have a problem or an issue. If it's with a Sunday school, go to your Sunday school teacher. Tell them that what go to the closest person to the situation. You can come to me, but I would prefer if it's an issue in the Sunday school class, go to Jim or go to the Sunday school teacher directly first. And then if it still doesn't work out, then come talk to Stan or come talk to me as well. And maybe together we can work something out. Or if there's anything related to the English ministry, praise the Lord, direct it all to Emily Sue. She is our English deaconess. Okay. All right. And so, I don't mind you coming to me. Please do come to me. If you really hate my sermons, you know, let me know. If you love them, let me know. Okay. But those issues that are related, go to the person most directly involved in the situation. Personally, it's the same thing. Try to talk to the person first, directly. That's what we want to promote. And so if you're on, you're at D Camp or Camp Impact this next week, and something, you're having a problem with your roommate, do try to talk to that fellow cabin roommate, to the person directly first. Now, there are times where it is better to go to the person in authority directly, right? And to not go to the person directly, depending on your maturity, all of these, a lot of issues come into play, but we do want to promote going to that cabin mate first, directly. I mean, yeah, if the guy is brandishing a gun, you know, at Impact, Camp Impact, and he brings a gun to the Camp Impact, and, you know, you might not want to approach him directly. Hey, Joe, you know, I don't think you should be having a gun here. You know, maybe that's a situation where you do want to go talk to Stan first. You know, say, hey, you know, Joe, he's got a gun here. But in general, we want to promote, go to the person directly first, okay? And then lastly, or a couple of more things, when you're resolving conflicts, I want to promote face-to-face communication. And if not, Skyping on visual or phone call at the least. Okay, be very careful trying to communicate negative things and constructive criticism through Facebook and email and texting. I mean, that can really destroy relationships, you know. Hey, you know, so I'm going to, you know, so I would promote face-to-face at the very least phone call in your direct communication. Now, on the side of where you are the receiver, we need to become people who can take critical comments without becoming defensive. So if you are the recipient of the truth, let me just to encourage you to first try to listen and understand. Okay? So if you are the recipient of the truth, let me just try to encourage you to listen and understand. All right? So if you are the recipient of truth, let me first try to encourage you to listen and understand. All right? Don't try not to get defensive. Try not to give too much initial pushback, but be approachable. And that way people will be more willing to come to you directly. So let us speak the truth in love because we are members of one another. The second set of commands, verse 26 and 27, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. Here, Paul reverses it. He puts the positive command first, although it's about a negative emotion. Be angry. And then what is the negative command? Yet do not sin. And the reason is don't let the sun go down on your anger to give the devil an opportunity. So as we seek to build our relationships, let us be honest with our emotions. And in particular, the emotion of anger. See here, Paul, he tells us to be angry. It is a command. And so not all negative emotions are bad. In fact, a lot of times emotions are more neutral. But it's what? It's what we do with those emotions, how we express those emotions. And so yes, be honest with your emotions. If you are angry, acknowledge that, accept it, and because often something like anger can inform us to that something is not right, and so we do want to listen and accept our emotions. Let me see here. Oops, sorry. So that's our first verse. Be angry, do not sin. Now, I'm sorry, you can't see this, but this is the feeling wheel. And we've shown this in our Sunday school class. And basically, it shows all the different feelings that are out there. And I would like us as a congregation to raise our EQ. You guys know what EQ is? Emotional intelligence, right? And so I believe that if we raise our EQ, if we understand our emotions more and can identify them, that our relationships will improve. Now, emotions, they're not necessarily right or wrong. They can be neutral. But again, it's what we do with them. So try to get in touch a little bit more with your emotions. Learn to identify what's going on. And just accept that, okay? And then the key is to not sin. So if we feel anger, we don't want to express it in a destructive way. If someone gossips about us behind our back, don't go and slam the door. You know, don't go kick the door in or gossip back about that person. All right, that's being angry and sinning. We want to be angry and do not sin. And the reason is, and we want to, there's some conditions on this as well, this anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So there's a time element. So the day of the conflict, ideally, is also the day to resolve the conflict, to talk about the conflict. Now, I don't think we need to take this too literally. Sundown today is 8:26 p.m. It doesn't mean that before 8:26 p.m. we have to, you know, we have to work it out. I mean, I think midnight is probably okay. 1 a.m. is probably even okay. Sometimes my wife and I, you know, we're working things out till the wee hours of the night. And even here's a little tip as well. Honey, you know, I know we're having a problem. I know we need to talk about this some more, but we also need some sleep. Can we just talk about this more tomorrow night after dinner and get some sleep now? To agree to talk about it more later is also one point that I would like to offer to you. Okay, so be honest with your emotions, but don't use your emotions destructively. All right, let's move on to the next set. Now you're holding with me. You hung with me for about four imperatives. We've got about six more to go. Verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer. Okay. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. All right. So basically, the thrust here is having an other-centered focus. Okay, obviously, what's the negative command? Don't steal. And what's the positive command? Rather, labor and with your own hands. And why? So that you can have something to share with those in need. So it's hard to know exactly what kind of stealing was going on back in Paul's day. It might have been shopkeepers who had uneven scales, and as they were weighing out the salt, they were robbing their customers. Or maybe it was people picking apples in the field, and they kind of, you know, instead of putting it in the basket, they kind of put it in their pocket, although I don't think they had pockets back in those days. But something like that. So maybe they were stealing from their employers. But again, it's this focus of not being selfish. And so today, I don't know how we might steal. We might steal by listening to music that, you know, we didn't pay for, or watching movies that we didn't pay for. And so we're robbing from people, not because of our need, but because of our entertainment, which is even worse, I think. I mean, both are stealing, but, you know, if you have to eat and you rob, that's a little bit better than robbing because you just want to entertain yourself. But both are wrong. But rather, let us labor so that we can have something to share with him who has need. So this gives us another reason. The integrity of work is not only to provide for yourself or for your family, but to provide for those others outside of your family who are in need. So I'm very thankful that our church has a benevolent fund that we can give to those who are in physical need. If we talk about worldwide needs, that's even greater. There's more, even greater needs than we might face or see here in America. So again, the thrust is focusing on others. All right. And then verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So the negative command is what? Don't speak corrupt words. What's the positive command? Speak words that build up. Speak words that edify. And why? Because it will give grace to those who hear. Further, he gives a reason for the negative command. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When I say a corrupting, a polluting word to my brother or sister, the Holy Spirit becomes sad. He's grieved. And so that's a reason we don't want to do that. So, boy, I tell you, we would be great people if we could just obey that Ephesians 4:29, right? Let no unwholesome word proceed from out of your mouth. Maybe you could pray that right now. Lord, please help me never to speak an unwholesome word to my family members, to my church members. I mean, the tongue is so powerful, as James tells us, that if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. And boy, we would do well just if we could make sure that we don't ever speak a corrupting and an old unwholesome word to our brother or sister, but rather to speak wholesome words, words that will build up, words that will help. It's this word profitable, helpful, wholesome. And so I want to encourage us to be bearers of helpful words. And specifically, I want to encourage you again to speak an affirming word to someone this week. Would you do that? Would you speak an affirming word? In verse 25, we talked about communicating negative things to one another. Here, I want to promote communicating positive things. And so if you like something about the Sunday school lesson, please tell Jim or Hugh or your teacher. And be specific about it, too. If you liked Pastor Johnny's sermon last week, go and tell him and be specific and say, Pastor Johnny, I really like that Taekwondo illustration where the woman did the roundhouse and kicked you in the face, not because you got kicked in the face, but because I have a problem with revenge and retaliation, too. So I really appreciated you sharing that sermon. And if you can bring it to the core of the person, even better. Joe, you are a helpful person. You are helpful. Make it a part of their identity, especially if it's something that they're not really that good at. You know, like this morning, my son was cleaning the sink. And it was an opportunity for me to the core of identity, say, son, you are a helpful. You are helpful. That's who you are. I appreciate that you're cleaning the sink. And so would you give an affirming, a building up word to someone in your family or this church body this week? My good friend Robert Owsley and basketball coach, he says that, yeah, when I coach basketball, for every one critical, constructive comment I gave to my boys, I had to give them five affirmations and compliments. And he said, but you know, when I found out when I coached the girls, I had to give them 10 constructive things about what they're doing well playing basketball before I could tell them, you know, adjust your jump shot a little bit. And I told that story to my cousin, and he goes, yeah, that's right. And, you know, for my wife, I got to give her 100 positive comments to 0 negative, okay? So would you please this week give a word of affirmation, a word that builds up, E-429 somebody. I had a friend back in college. He said, yeah, anytime I say something that is sarcastic or wrong or bad, just say E-429. I say E-429, baby. So, but let's put that into the positive. Would you E-429 somebody this week by giving them a word of affirmation? Will you do that? Yes, yes, Pastor, I will. Yes, can I hear you say that? Yes, Pastor, I will. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor, I will. I will give. Okay, thank you. All right. So that's now our last set of commands. Is let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. That's in verse 32. So what's the negative command is to put aside all of these things, right? The positive command is found in verse 32, to promote building up, edifying, kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has all forgiven you. And what's the reason? It's because God, how Christ has treated you, you therefore treat your brothers and sisters. Okay, now there's a little bit of a problem here. What, there's a, you know, my Muslim friends, if they want to challenge me, they'll come up and they'll say, hey, look at that. Verse 31 says, get rid of all anger. But then, what about that? Your Bible is error, full of errors. You've got a contradiction. Verse 26 says, be angry. Verse 31 says, get rid of all anger. Contradiction, your Bible is corrupt. How are you going to answer him? Come back next week and we'll tell you. No, just kidding. Okay, so I think the key here is the end of verse 31, along with all malice. So as we said, emotions can be neutral, but it's what we do with those emotions that can be destructive or constructive. And so if all of those things, or most wrath and anger, if that is laced with malice or evil or wanting to hurt the person, then you need to get rid of all of that kind of anger. But if it's an anger that's informing you to something unjust or unrighteous, such as the shootings this last week, some of us may have felt anger, right? But we're not going to go out and then shoot the guys who shot the guys, right? That it's so it's the expression of the anger that can be right or wrong, okay? And when it's an expression laced with malice, then that's the anger we need to get rid of. But anger in and of itself can be somewhat neutral, just like the movie Inside Out, right? Joy and sadness and all those other emotions, anger, they can kind of be neutral, right? Even joy can be evil. You can use joy, you know, if I'm happy because, you know, the other team got a bad, lost the game, or they got a bad grade, and then I go out and I celebrate right in front of their face, you know, hey, yeah, you guys lost the game, hey, you know, that can be evil, okay? So it's what you, how you express those emotions, okay? So I want to encourage you to give grace, to others this week. And as we work through that anger and bitterness, one thing we might have to do is we might have to reach back, way back into our past. Because, you know, when we meet together, we're not only meeting with one another, but we're meeting with one another and all of their baggage and background and how their mom and dad treated them, the relationships of how people treated us in the past may affect how I relate to someone today. And so you might have to work through some anger, some shame that you have felt from your parents or from others in the past. And I just want to say right now, to put aside all anger, wrath, malice, clamor, and slander, that it's okay to talk to a counselor about that. It's okay to see a professional counselor or a lay counselor and to work through all this so that you can put aside the anger and clamor and slander. I myself have had to work through with a counselor a lot of issues from my past. And so it's there's no shame in that. And as we do so, we are then freed up to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And this word forgiving is really the word charisma or giving grace to one another. Grace that was undeserved. Just like how much Christ gave grace to you. So we want to give grace to one another. And I'm so thankful that someone just this last week, I didn't do anything, but they just gave me some squash. Just pure grace. And so you can think of a way to give out, to give grace to someone this next week. So friends, today we have we've gone through a lot of commands. We've gone through five sets of commands because you're no longer the old man
you know, wearing old clothes at conversion, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you took off the old clothes and you put on the new man, and the new man is characterized by different qualities of being truthful, of being honest with their emotions, of giving to others, of speaking kind words, and just being gracious to one another. Imagine with me, let's play a game, just in closing. Imagine for me that you can be anyone you want for one day. Who would that be? The president? Miss America? Donald Trump? Let's just say, for the sake of unity, we all decided for one day we were going to be Kevin Durant. Now, for those of you who don't know who Kevin Durant is, he's an NBA basketball player who was the most sought after free agent in this free agency season. So let's all imagine for one day we could be Kevin Durant. So you are no longer Asian, wearing glasses, can play the violin, have no jump, engineer, making $100,000 a year. Now, you are black, African American, can't play any musical instrument, don't wear glasses, has the greatest, purest jump shot ever in the history of the NBA, and you're not making $100,000 a year. You're making $27 million a year. But you know what? Not only have you become Kevin Durant, you have also joined a new team. Oops. Well, you'll have to imagine with me, Kevin Durant in a Golden State Warriors uniform. And your new team is characterized by a higher ethos, a greater culture. You not only play selfishly, you play unselfishly. You like to pass. You like to set screens. And you like to win. Well, friends, imagine no longer. You can not only become Kevin Durant for one day, but you can become like Jesus Christ for many days and for all of eternity. And no longer are you just passing the ball, setting screens, and working together to shoot hoops, but you are speaking kind words. You're being honest with your emotions. You are thinking of others. And when it comes to love and unity, all you do is win, baby, win. And so, friends, take off the old clothes. Take off the new old man. Put on the new man. Live out your new you in the new y'all. And win, baby, win. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you that his newness influences not only who we are as people individually, but who we are as a team. And so, Lord, let us live out the new you in the new y'all by your grace in Jesus' name.